Welcome to The Art Scene, presented each week by UALR's College of Arts, Humanities and Social Sciences and UALR Public Radio. From the list of performances mezzo-soprano Sasha Cook has made over the past 3 or 4 years, you have to wonder where she finds the time and endurance to fulfill the commitments. In opera, her performance as Kitty Oppenheimer in John Adams' Dr. Atomic was sensational. Concerts of symphonic works, notably Mahler, oratorio, chamber music, all sorts of recitals. She is also an enthusiastic performer of new works by established and a particular favorite of young upcoming composers. When we finally connected for this interview, Sasha had just moved back to Texas, where we had set an early morning date as her cell phone only worked outdoors. Being most impressed by Sasha's stunning CV and all she has accomplished so far, I had to know, where did it all begin?
When I do master classes with young singers, I often tell them that you never can predict what your career will be, and you should be open to the possibilities and open to surprises, because I never would have imagined that I would do the repertoire that I do, and it's not that I thought it out. You know, when you plant seeds that are well-intentioned, and you do your work, and you show up prepared, and you do your best always, you know, things come back to you, and you are surprised by what you discover, and that has been my case. I mean, when I was in school, I had friends that were composers, and I pretty soon got a reputation for being a quick study. But then lots of composers were throwing me things, and I was learning things overnight, performing different pieces each week. My voice teacher at the Juilliard School said, you know, Sasha, you've been great, you've been wonderful, but we really didn't get to work on technique all that much because I was performing so much. I was always bringing in new repertoire. So that was just kind of my personality, my spirit, that's the way I work. Everyone's different. I really struggle to learn music slowly, and I love it all.
But what I'm also interested in, Sasha, is there's very little of the usual opera repertoire that one hears of that starts with the traditional 19th century romantics and all the big names that everybody gets asked for when they're auditioning for companies and things.
Yeah.
And I wondered, is it the quality of your voice that dictates this somehow?
I often wonder about this, and it sounds silly, but all artists complain, and the grass is always greener. So often I say, can't I just do the traditional repertoire? Can't I do the traditional path? Can't I be a generic mezzo? And one of my managers at the time said, no, Sasha, you do not want to be a generic mezzo. There are certain things that means in this profession, and you are not any of those, and you can't be. And I think it more than vocal, is it a personality? I often think that it has to do with something spiritual. A lot of people love to hide behind the costume, the music. And I'm sort of very different from that. I'd like to be very exposed. I love how in control you are in recital. I love that in symphonic music, you can bring a world of narrative, interpretive, even operatic performance elements to it. I like mixing mediums that way. So I think it has a little bit more to do with my personality and artistic sensibility. Music is first for me, because a lot of people, that's not the case. Vocalism is first. Performing on stage creature is first. The music for me has always been first. I think it comes down to intelligence, too. There are a lot of people that don't like singing in 15 languages or don't like constant changing meter or very difficult rhythms. I love that. That's my favorite thing. I mean, I used to say to people when I was younger, when I was in school, oh, contemporary music is my favorite because it's endlessly challenging. Other stuff, you know, it's healthy for a young singer to sing lots of Mozart and Handel and all of that. And several people have said to me, you're very feminine. You have a very feminine energy. So why would you want to play a boy role, you know, pants role? I said, because of the music, it's great, and the part, and I want to have fun, and put on some boots, and be silly, and to dive into more repertoire. And I said, yeah, but you have such a sort of earthiness that, and you're very feminine looking. So those have been things that surprised me. I think if I lived in Europe, I would be embraced differently than I am here in the States.
Come back to my original question. Did you sing a lot growing up? Did you have teachers? Did you just sing in the choir? What did you do that led you this way?
Well, I was a pianist. I started piano when I was 4 years old. That lasted until I left for college, only because I couldn't handle both vocal and piano studies, although I thought about it for a while, and I obviously did it for a while. I then started viola when I was in middle school, somewhere around age 10. That lasted a couple years. I was in the orchestra, and then I joined choir, and that was wonderful. I was super, super shy, very shy, but I sang alto too. I loved competing. I loved all of that. I missed choir so much. And then, you know, really in my final year of high school, I was taking group voice lessons. So it wasn't private. And a friend of mine said, "Have you looked at the program at Rice University?" And I thought, "I'll never get into Rice." And, you know, I just loved all things music, but I didn't think that I would ever have a profession in it. My parents are both professors of Russian, so I've been going to opera since I was very little. I've heard symphonic music almost nonstop in the house. My dad, one vice in life, he has, you know, 4,000-something recordings. So, you know, when I was in the womb, classical music was all around me. And so I thank them because they were so culturally vibrant, and I heard foreign languages all the time and artwork. I was a lover of museums. My parents are very acting, so every trip was filled with trips to the museum and trips to the opera and trips to the symphony, and that became part of what I do. So I love symphonic chamber, all things instrumental, which was really nice because it was a hobby, obviously. And then in school, it stayed a hobby in that I didn't have to go to see all of my colleagues' performances. And I remember thinking, why aren't more singers going to symphonic performances? Again, I never would have known that I was sort of planting a seed, just like contemporary music, when I was befriending composers and loving difficult scores, I was building for my career, which I couldn't have anticipated, you know? I didn't realize that that was unique. You know, I thought, how can singers not like recital? Recital's so wonderful. A lot of people find it terrifying.
Yeah.
So that's been, and same with symphonic and chamber. I've loved being a musician that performs with symphonies often. I think that's probably maybe the largest part of my performing is symphonic.
You seem to have a real affinity with Mahler.
And that's another lucky thing for me. I've loved Mahler for a long time, so it was another nice surprise.
Tell me something. What big city in Texas did you grow up close to or in?
Which is Houston. I did go to opera in Austin and Dallas and Houston, but mostly Houston because my parents teach at Texas A&M University, which is in College Station.
Right.
So I was born in California. They met at Berkeley, but then they both got professorships here. And then I went to Rice and then Juilliard and Chicago.
So the training you've just pretty much brushed on, but you've been a member of several young artists program, the Met, Seattle, Central City. And was the Chicago connection with the young artist program at Chicago Lyric?
No, it was. I mean, I had sung with the Chicago Symphony and the Opera Theater and sort of fallen in love with the city. I did the Metropolitan Opera Young Artist Program, finished that. My husband and I got married not long thereafter.
Did you, the two of you meet at the Lindemann?
Yes, I was at Lindemann and he was at Juilliard and had a very serendipitous meeting in a sushi restaurant just across from Lincoln Center. And he graduated at the same time that I graduated. Mm-hmm. He did the Juilliard Opera Center. And then, actually, I think we lived in New York for a year and then chose Chicago. And the minute we moved in, we got pregnant. And now we have a 2-year-old and love Chicago. We were almost never there. We did our taxes and realized we were home about 3 days a month. So then thought, why spend those 3 days in the city? As wonderful as Chicago is, we never really enjoyed it. You know what I mean?
So, well, is your home now, is that close to Dallas? What city is it close to? Because you're obviously...
Oh, it's It's in the Woodlands Conroe area, so about 30 minutes from Houston.
Oh, okay. So you're very close to your roots, as you might say.
Yeah, close to the roots and friends at the universities and the airport is really the key.
Very central, very much so.
Yeah.
Now, the value of these programs that you've been with, were you also a part of the Marilyn Horne Foundation?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I just wondered if it was her passion for art song and the need to keep it alive and the recital concept that has given you that boost into that area of performance, which is what's bringing you here.
She accepted me into the Music Academy of the West when I was 17 or 18. Marilyn Horne is one of my biggest mentors. I went to the audition just to accompany a friend, never thought I would have gotten in. I ended up being the youngest singer there. The average age was 26, and all of these people completely inspired me. And it was a major turning point that summer that I studied with Marilyn Horne. So I'm very grateful to her. I think her love of art song, her maternal nature, the fact that she stays connected to all of the young people that she brings on, she's a very generous person.
Things that you've mentioned about your working with these young composers, your debut with the San Francisco Opera, and it's the premier performance of Marc Adamo's Gospel of Mary Magdalene. Did he write it for you?
Yes.
Very exciting.
Oh, it was incredibly thrilling on many, many levels because it was my debut with that company, world premiere, but not only that, it was a title role, and the Mary Magdalene character was on stage about 3 hours without break. She only had quick changes off stage, so it was quite a feature thing, and yeah, it was very surreal.
What about the Anna Bolena? Have you done that one yet in Bordeaux? Because that's beautiful bel canto, isn't it?
Oh, I can't wait. I was so thrilled when that came through because that's sort of exactly what I'm looking for. Something to sink my teeth into that isn't the typical thing that I get, you know? I get so smaller and contemporary, and I love that. But it's good to grow. I know one of the arias just from auditions and learning and
coming here, you're going to be doing a masterclass and a recital.
Yeah.
And I imagine you plan it pretty carefully. But do you let yourself go in some of the things that you perform just for the fun of doing it?
Oh, absolutely. Did you ask if I let myself go?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is sort of the first priority always. If that's not happening, then something's very wrong. I remember I did a performance with James Levine with his chamber ensemble, and my dad came up to me and said, oh, so amazing, Mr. Levine. And he said, well, because she was so prepared, because she had done her homework, she just let go. I think that always happens when everything's right.
Mezzo-soprano Sasha Cook comes to Little Rock next Sunday to open Art Spree, the UALR Performing Arts Series. Her recital will be at 3 p.m. in the Stella Boltzmidt Concert Hall at UALR. For tickets, call 501-569-8993. On Monday, September the 16th, she will give a masterclass at 12:15, also in the Stella Boltzmidt Concert Hall, which will be free and open to the public. At the Arkansas Arts Center, today is the last call for the Inwood House Party. The show closes tonight. The Arkansas Arts Center opens at 11 a.m. on Sundays. Tomorrow, the National Federation of Music Clubs Young Artist 2013 prize winner cellist Tavi Ungerleider with pianist Carlos Avila continue their tour of Arkansas with a concert at 7 p.m. in Oak Cliff Baptist Church in Fort Smith. September the 10th, 7:30 in Mabee Fine Arts Center, Washita Baptist University in Arkadelphia. September the 12th at 7:30 in the Fine Arts Center, the University of Arkansas, Monticello. At UCA, the recital by cellist Desislava Menova is at 7:30, September the 12th, Snow Fine Arts Center Recital Hall. September the 14th, the 8th annual Fear Paves the Way, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Clinton Library front lawn. And Gallery 26 in Hillcrest, a reception from 7 to 10 p.m., September the 14th, to open recent works by Ray Chancellor, Betty Emil, and Rita Henry. While Pal Joey just opened at Arkansas Rep, performances at 2 and 7 today. Next Sunday, the River City Men's Chorus season opener, a performance of John Rutter's Requiem. At 3 p.m. then, Monday the 16th and Wednesday the 18th at 7 p.m. in Trinity United Methodist Church in Little Rock. The University of Central Arkansas Public Appearances has had two directors since the series located to Reynolds Hall from the Ida Waldron Auditorium. First was Guy Couch from Arkansas Rep, where as tour director he had handled all the Rep's touring productions for a number of years, followed by Jerry Biebersheimer, coming from Arkansas State University's Fowler Center. He retired at the close of the 2012-13 season. So today, my guest is Amanda Horton, taking up the baton, moving from the Grand Prairie Center in Stuttgart. There is a very interesting season she has put together there, before being appointed to the position in Conway. The UCA 13-14 season, of course, was already completed before Biebersheimer retired. He and Amanda worked closely together this past season, and the 16 events present the wide variety we have come to expect. I asked Amanda if, just looking at the roster, she could tell which would sell out first.
That's a great question. I felt like Bill Cosby would immediately sell out, and it did. I also had a clue on another group, which was Straight No Chaser.
They were here last year, I think.
Yes, and they sold out 3 months in advance at UCA last year. So I thought that it did not sell out the opening day of ticket sales last year, but it did this year. So we were so pleased that Jerry chose to bring them back. But the one that I was absolutely shocked about was a lecturer, and that's Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's an astrophysicist, and he was actually our second sellout of the day, right behind Bill Cosby. He sold out in an hour and 45 minutes. He had his own show, Nova Science. They call him a rock star in the science world. And he was one of the scientists that actually brought the theory that Pluto is not really a planet.
Oh, shocked a lot of people, I think.
Very popular among the science world. We were really pleased that over a third of our tickets that were taken that day were to students. So something that the students got really excited about.
Yes. Now, the students get in free to some of the series, don't they?
They do. They get in free to both of the lectures, of course, because that is considered an educational event. And then they do get in free to some of our other various shows during the year.
Now, I noticed with some interest that the Conway Symphony is part of the public appearances promotional field, which intrigued me because it has its own season and its own audience and its own sales marketing program. And the fact that they're bringing the winner, which means the first of, I think they have six finalists every year.
They do.
And one of them is coming to ULR, to the Artspree series. And that should be very interesting for the Conway Symphony audience to see how that has been selling.
Absolutely. It has been selling well. Conway Symphony Orchestra just kicked off their season ticket sales. And we are their performance hall home. So we are the established hall for the Conway Symphony Orchestra. And we love doing things with them because they're so talented. And so many of the musicians in that orchestra are UCA faculty members, yes. So this year, the winner is from Ukraine, and I hear he is absolutely magnificent. We also sell our tickets in season passes. Mm-hmm. So the Van Cliburn winner is a part of the Night Out series, and we've got different types of series. And Bill Cosby was also a part of the Night Out series, along with Audra McDonald and Paul Taylor Dance.
But yes, so the Paul Taylor Dance, I would think, would have a lot of people interested in. And so you've got the three or four that sold out or are selling out very well. And, you know, looking at it just casually, it seems as though you've got some pretty high-powered groups coming in.
We absolutely do, and we've got a great variety of different types of musicians, events, plays, something that ought to, everything from the Van Cliburn winner to country music singers, Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan, to the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, which is a swing band. So we're trying to really go in and appeal to all different walks of people to get them on the UCA campus.
Now, the very first program is another of the Cirque.
Yes,
shows.
It is. It's by Cirque El Waz, and they have been at UCA. It's been a few years ago, but they performed the Cirque Rain, where it actually rained on the stage. Pretty spectacular. I wasn't there, but this year they're bringing Cirqueopolis. to the stage.
Cirque Dream Rock.
We had a little bit of change this summer, so this is a new program. Okay. We were very excited, though, that we were able to replace it with an even better Cirque, which is Cirqueopolis.
So is the date the same?
The date is different. It's Saturday, September 14th. I believe the original date was going to be on a Thursday.
Yes.
And this is going to be on a Saturday night, which we really love about that because Saturday shows tend to sell a little bit better. It's the weekend. People are looking for something to do. And they have an original musical score that they wrote just for this. Most of these Cirque performers are French. And so we have to have a French interpreter when they come. It's pretty interesting. And
did it originate in Canada?
You know, I'm not sure.
In my mind, but I maybe just thought we were in. You know, other titles that are so familiar because they've been and come and they never seem to age. The Addams Family, for example.
Yes.
That's a popular one that keeps recurring on somebody's stage.
I spoke to the Jacksonville Rotary Club yesterday and asked them who all had heard of the Addams Family, and every hand, of course, popped up from the 21-year-olds that were there to the 65-year-olds that were. Everyone knew the Addams Family, and this is a really fun show, and it's a musical. So the set for this, it is absolutely amazing. We have some footage of this on our website, and I would really encourage people just to go to see the set.
Now, that one hasn't sold out yet.
It has not, but it is selling very well. Okay. Another one in that Broadway series that I'd like to touch on that we are so excited about because it brings some new technical challenges to the table is Broadway on Ice.
I was looking at that and thinking, yes, my goodness, you're testing everything that Reynolds Center has.
They're putting an ice rink right on the middle of Reynolds Performance Hall stage. It's never been done before, and I'm not sure if we should warn the first and second row to bring their coats or how we're going to keep that.
And that's just for one night?
It's just for one night. All of our shows are just for one night, yes. And of course, it's just a Broadway review set to music, live music. We'll have our Steinway piano out and... but it's going to be pretty technically challenging.
Be interesting to see how the piano fares for an ice.
Yes,
stage.
In that cold atmosphere, you're absolutely right. We're going to do some time-lapse videos, and we'll put that on our website to show how that actually, kind of a behind-the-scenes look at how that went on.
So you've got about four in each category, haven't you? And I remember when Jerry said that this is the way it was going to go, it obviously must work that you've kept that style.
It does. It absolutely does. Now, we are adding something new this year, and I don't know if you've noticed that in the brochure, but during Arts Fest Week in Conway,
out quite soon, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. October 5th, as a part of Arts Fest Week, we're going to have a children's performance. And it's by Light Wire Theater. It's called The Ugly Duckling and the Tortoise and the Hare. And this is a pretty amazing show. They use sculpture, laser lights, and they sculpture and light and lighted figures and laser lights to actually create the show on stage. We have to have the theater completely dark for this, and some pretty wow effects come out of this. People are just amazed. And this group was a runner-up on America's Got Talent in 2012.
Okay. So it's very recent then, yes.
Yes, it is. Yes. It is. And it's very affordable. It's a children's show, so it's about a 50-minute performance. But the tickets are priced very reasonably, $10 for adults and $5 for students. You can't take your children to a movie for $5. So to have the kids in the theater seeing a live performance of something on stage, you know, we're really excited about bringing that to the series this year because we've never had that before.
Now, one thing we really haven't, we've touched on some of the pops, Straight No Chaser, and that usually I would think sells by the time it comes to showtime. You're probably just left with a few tickets.
Yes, the series sells very well. Yeah. Broadway series is actually our number one selling series, but the Pops is right behind it. And we're kicking off the Pops series during homecoming week for UCA with Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan. And they're both daughters of famous country music singers. And, of course, Pam Tillis, she's daughter of Mel Tillis, who's not just a singer. He's an entertainer all the way around. Mm-hmm. But we're real excited about having them. I had Pam Tillis at the Grand Prairie Center a couple of years ago. She is a true professional. She was absolutely wonderful. all the way around in her demeanor and the way she acted on stage and how beautiful she sang.
Well, that's one of the things that goes with a job is that you've got to be there every second
that's
of
right.
the installation, the coming and going, and you know, the lead up to it, that you wouldn't be able to sleep at night if you didn't know exactly where everything was and it had been working out and all the creases and bumps that have bound to have come up during the course of putting on anything have just been got to the point where you can sleep well.
Yes.
But I was thinking, we haven't touched on what I thought stuck out as being very different was the Haifa Symphony from Israel.
Yes, they are. This is actually the first tour in the United States. So we are so excited to be on that route that they're going to be at UCA. And like you said, the Haifa tour out of Israel, and it's always exciting to bring a symphony into your hall because there's so many musicians, and I've never dealt with an international symphony, so this will be something new for me. But I'm really, really excited about it. But
because the last big one in that respect was the National Symphony that came in three or four years ago, I think it was. When you have something like that. I know there's a special relationship with Israel and the United States. Are there problems in regards to all the visas they have to get and things like that?
Well, this is the way I have been coached, is that you must make sure that the agency that's representing them has already handled their visas. So it's really pretty seamless for us. We just deal directly with the agency, and the agency has already handled all of that.
Do you know what program they'll be playing? Have they sent any information on that yet?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they have. Mozart's Symphony No. 40 in G minor, Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4. Those will both be played. And it seems like there was one more, but...
There's usually a shorter piece that they put in. Mm-hmm. Sort of seems to be the format. I know that's what we have here with the Arkansas Symphony. Well, my goodness.
We're trying to work with these artists to include them on community education. We want Conway and Little Rock and Arkansas, Central Arkansas, to benefit from these entertainers coming in. One thing we've done with the Van Cliburn winner is we're going to hold master classes with our music students on the UCA campus. Now, UCA does not have a dance program, but we are going to have a master class for Blackbird Academy students, which is a dance organization in Conway, for some of their senior students with the Paul Taylor Dance Company.
Oh, yes.
So we're really excited about being able to expose our local artists as much as we can to these national and international artists that come through. We think it's really, really important that we include educational components in what we do.
No, the Paul Taylor Company is a legendary one, and I'm sorry I won't be here for it. But
out of New York City, they are legendary. It's a very modern style dance, but I feel very excited about what they're going to bring to our stage. And I love that we're incorporating them in with our young dancers to hopefully get some excitement out in the community.
And then, of course, the evening with Audra McDonald should attract a lot of people, too.
Absolutely. People may not know just by hearing Audra McDonald who she is just by hearing her name, but she played on Private Practice for many years. So if you see her face, you will know her. But Audra is really not famous, should not be held famous for Private Practice. She needs to be famous for what we're bringing her to the Reynolds stage for, and that is her singing. She is an amazing vocalist.
I know they did a fairly long interview with her on NPR after the Porky and Bess came out, and she was getting such rave reviews for her portrayal.
She has won 3 Tony Awards before she was 30 years old. No other actress, no other singer had ever done that. So we're really, really excited about her amazing, powerful voice.
That was Amanda Horton, the new director of UCA Public Appearances Series, and Reynolds Hall. The 2013 season opens with Cirque Eloise Cirqueopolis, 7:30 September the 14th in Reynolds Hall. The Bill Cosby event is sold out, as are other events in the series, so be sure to check for any returned tickets. All tickets to the series can be ordered online at www.uca.reynolds/edu. And that concludes this week's program. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UALR's College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences and UALR Public Radio.